3, 2, 1.
Action. Welcome back to the Whiny Girl Podcast. I am your host, the Whiny Girl, Abby, and Old Fashioned is here again.
Hi, everybody.
You just keep showing up. As long as you keep showing up, I'll keep doing a podcast.
I've never actually gotten a formal invite. I just kind of follow you down here.
Yeah, it happens. It's good. It works for me because otherwise it'd just be me talking for an hour, and I think...
And the extrovert talking to themselves or a computer or microphone.
Yeah, just, I get pretty bored of that.
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
It does not work that way. Well, let's start the show with a cheers, a proper cheers.
A hearty cheers. Cheers, whiny girl.
Cheers. Oh, we got a drink.
You have a non-alcoholic beverage today.
I do. I woke up with a...
The fraudulent girl.
Woke up with like fuzzy in my throat, and I was like, ooh.
Who's maybe. Fuzzy? And where can I find
throat?
This guy?
You wouldn't know him. No, it was weird. When I first woke up, it was like really, really hard to swallow. It really hurt. And then as the day has gone on, it's been easier. But I'm like, I'm just going to backtrack if I start drinking wine and put some more sulfites into my body. So,
are you setting me up for a segue? Here's a topic that's also hard to swallow.
I'm leaving you. Have fun with the kids, motherfucker.
Oh, shit. On the podcast? Ruthless.
Where else are you going to renounce that shit? No.
Well, this isn't
kidding.
Even live, so you'd have to edit that and then put
true.
It out there. That'd be cold hearted.
Yeah, that would be.
Cold lotion.
That'd be some cold lotion. So today, we just got back from a hike, which was nice, and a very deserted trail, but right here locally in Martin City. And
yeah, didn't even know it was there. Kind of found it.
Yeah, really beautiful. Lots of nature. Lots of nature.
Wildflowers as far as the eye can see.
Butterflies, bugs, cicadas, crickets. Everything was walking with us today. So
yeah,
it was fun.
So finch.
Yeah, the yellow. It looks like a canary, but it's like black. It's got yellow and like black, not stripes, but like black outline. I don't know.
Pretty little bird.
I think that's what they're called, yellow finches. But they sing really pretty. So anyway, before this turns into a nature podcast where we discuss
how neat
aviary,
is that?
aviary culture. Yeah, I want to talk about something. We started talking about it on the drive home and we probably got interrupted, but yeah, we were talking about people having an opinion on something or people making a statement about something. And then they learn more information and they change their mind. And how that is such a struggle for people in the media or people of celebrity or anyone who has a platform, that's a huge struggle because the media like will not let you change your mind.
Yeah, and just kind of culture in general. People have a hard time with the concept of if you said something, then that's like...
That's who you are.
Tattooed on you forever.
Yeah, like if I don't believe in gay rights, and then I learn, and then I come back 10 years and I go, you know what, I changed my mind. I do actually support gay rights. If you're in any position of celebrity, like, they will beat you down about that. Be like, but you did say once you didn't support them. And it's like, right, I changed my opinion because I learned more information.
Yeah, and we all run into this on a day-to-day basis. But it's interesting, and the topic's been on my mind because my brother and I have been discussing how America's fragmented, and we're probably the most divided we've been since the pre-Civil War days.
Yeah, boy, we are divided right now.
And it's over mostly issues that have no bearing on day-to-day life. So there's definitely some agenda setting going on by somebody, whether it's purposeful or just incidental. You have these social issues that come up that people like get ready to go to war and die over, yet a lot of times they aren't really that impactful, whereas there's so many things that we could be working on that are super important.
Right.
The arguments kind of devolve into these things. So the example I was using was the gay marriage movement. 10 years ago, that was a holy war.
Right.
That one side felt like it was a social rights issue where homosexuals should be allowed to get married legally.
Right.
And then you had another side who said it was basically contrary to the fabric of our country and it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
Okay. It happened very quickly. Everyone realized that it had no negative impact on anything whatsoever.
Right. Like, it doesn't affect my life.
Very happy.
Yeah.
And the sun still came up the next morning. The lights were all still on the next day. And
families didn't go away.
I'm kind of wondering if any of these people like wake up and think like, wow, I really made a huge deal out of that. And it really hasn't affected me whatsoever. So you go back even further and you've got many examples of that.
Yeah.
Civil rights matters, even though that whole movement's still going on
as well
it should be. But lots of things where people were passionately pro or against something and then found out later, like, oh, that actually one side or the other was right.
Right.
So we were talking today about an interview with actually Robert Downey Jr., RDJ, in the house. He was being nitpicked over something he had previously said, and he kind of candidly told the interviewer, and he's infamous for being kind of rough with interviewers, but he candidly told them that his opinion changed, and he said something to the effect of, it's a nice thing about opinions. They can develop and change as you get older and
you
learn
can
more.
Grow and you can learn and you can change your
mind. Absolutely.
Like, we need to normalize changing our mind. We need to normalize that, because that's the only way we're going to get out of the current situation we're in with the Black Lives Matter movement. All that shit. We need to normalize changing our mind, because we've got a bunch of like angry old people who are like, that's just what I think. And it's like, that's it. Like, that's me and that's my opinion. And it's like, but now you have more info and now you have more experience and now you have more, more media giving you what's actually going on, and you see this stuff.
Or maybe you're making a judgment on something you're unfamiliar with and you happen to see it for whatever reason firsthand.
Right, right. But we need to normalize changing our mind on stuff, because it's almost like, I mean, I've got a family member who, if you make one mistake in her world, you are that person for the rest of her life. That's how she defines you. Now, Lord help us if you try to call her to the carpet on a mistake that she has made and define her by that. But she does it with every single person that I've ever heard a story about. It's, oh, they did that thing. Like, oh, that guy cheated. He's a cheater. And it's like, okay, he made a mistake. He confessed his mistake. He tried to work through why he did it. He's come out on the other side with this new way of thinking, this realization he really fucked up, and yet you can't forgive him. And forgiveness is a whole other topic, but forgiving somebody is not for that other person. It's for you, so you can stop having hate in your heart, right? But she will not, like, let it go.
How about someone who says, I pick a politician, who, like George W. Bush, controversial president.
Yeah,
I guess every president is controversial.
To whatever person doesn't like him, yeah.
But let's say someone at the time was very anti-Bush administration.
Right.
And he left in 2008, left office.
Yeah.
So if someone in 2018 said, you know what? Bush actually didn't do that bad of a job. I actually kind of liked him. Now, I don't know what new information would have become available for that to happen, but just work with me on this hypothetical.
Right.
Why won't they be allowed to change their opinion with
because
10 extra years of perspective?
I feel like in America, we have this like patriotism that spills over into this, like, it's what you stand for. And you have to know what you stand for. And then you have to fucking stand for it the rest of your life. And it's your duty as an American.
All right. So let's take the politics and ideology aspects out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you hate cheeseburgers. And then 10 years later, you try one under whatever circumstance. You go, you know what? I think I actually like cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Is that grounds for you to be like labeled fraudulent?
Some people would say so. Like, what? You've never liked cheeseburgers. Okay. Well, you just suddenly all just automatically like them. I know people are weird. But that's, people do that stuff.
Let the man or woman eat a cheeseburger.
I know. That's what I say.
And if they don't like it, don't,
like,
make them.
Cool. You like them now? Awesome. I mean, it's, or you used to like them and you got sick of them. It's weird. I don't know why.
So what is the human condition that causes people to be so quick to point out others' changes of heart or opinion.
I think we like, as humans, we feel comfortable with predictability.
Yeah, but I think more than that, we like to put people in a certain category.
Yeah.
Put them in a box.
And that's kind of what I mean. Like, these people, now that we know, they're predictable. We know what they stand for. We know where they're at. We put them in this compartmentalized box of like, oh, they're a Republican. Oh, they're a Democrat. Oh, they're a Christian. Oh, they're not. Or they're gay. No, they're straight. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. We like to put people into boxes that we can understand. And as soon as you try to leave that box or start speaking a different language than the person views you, like the person's used to, they get uncomfortable. People don't like being uncomfortable. And because I think a lot of it too boils down to responsibility, because I don't think a lot of people want to feel responsible for their own lives and their own decisions and their thoughts and their viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And so if you come at me and for 10 years you've been like, you know, a staunch Republican, let's say, and then all of a sudden one day you're like, I think I'm changing my mind. I'm kind of going liberal, or I'm leaning a little bit Democratic or whatever. You're changing how your outlook is. That means I might have to do some introspection, because you did introspection on your opinion about something. And now I'm threatened by that, because now I have to do more education. And I have to, instead of just being like, yeah, it's easy, I'm going to just subscribe to this belief that this is what I understand, this is what I know. Whether it's like who you are definition wise, like morally or politically. Or even if it's just that person that you're interacting with and you're defining them as like, this is the type of person I'm dealing with. You start changing and people get freaked out, because they're like, well, if you can't change, because that means I can change, and change is hard and I don't want that responsibility. So I'm going to try to like keep you in the box that I understand, because then that makes me feel safe, because then I don't have to change.
Hmm.
I think that's the human element.
So it's kind
of
a selfish
100%. Well, and which we're selfish people, right? Yeah, like we're humans, we're selfish. We're out to make ourselves comfortable and safe and feel good. So it's understandable. I'm not saying it's right. I mean, that's like our whole talk about like toxic relationship.
I'm just trying to understand it. Yeah.
No, it's interesting, because I always kind of subscribed to that when I was a kid, because that's kind of the environment I grew up in. And then as I got older and met more people and maintained people in my life for longer periods of time and saw them evolve over the course of the years that I knew them, I realized like we can't define people by their mistakes. I mean, if that was the case, I wouldn't be where I am today, you know? Like,
yeah, you know, there's a great video we just watched this past week or so. It's about mm-hmm. a year old, but a woman made a documentary about how right-wing centered media, like Fox News, Rush Limbaugh,
yeah,
et cetera, they corrupted her once kind of progressive father into sort of a zealot, but he changed later in life and became a little more moderate.
Because he got sick and his wife, it was tearing them apart, like tearing the whole family apart.
It's a 5-minute video. I highly recommend everyone watch it.
Yeah.
But throw a link for that.
I'll link it below. But it's just a quick little thing. But it was interesting to see once he stopped watching and being consumed by the particularly biased media that he was watching, mm-hmm. he started to freethink again.
Yeah.
And
became more open-minded and accepting.
Which shows you what the media can
do. Which, if
you
like
right?
right-wing media, that's fine. I'm not trying to pick any sides.
But
here.
Also watch the left side and then make
that's
your opinion.
My idea.
That's my approach. Like, I'll watch both and then I'll go, okay, I don't know if I agree. I don't think you should agree 100% with one side or the other. That's like cultish.
I agree.
I feel like that is like brainwashing, and you are then, what are you doing? You're putting yourself in the box and
Someone
then you're expecting
once,
everyone
do
else
you have
to
any,
do it.
Do you have any like major turnoffs? And I'm sure they meant it like superficially.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking about it a minute, being like, wow, that's a great question. And my answer was, honestly, the only thing that really puts me off about somebody is blind adherence to an ideology.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very distasteful.
Yeah.
If you're like, let's take like the incendiary stuff out of it because people get really worked up about this stuff.
Right.
So benign example.
Right.
If you're like, I love Hondas. I'm all about right. Hondas. They can't make a bad car.
I only like, buy them. That's all I'll do. I'll never buy another car.
Yeah, as a preference, that's fine.
Right.
But if you're like, hey, this Toyota is a pretty decent car, and they're like, absolutely not. They should be like banned from existence.
Right.
That's where I get very dismissive of people. Like, right. I devalue your entire narrative.
Right, because you're not, because that's not education, right? And we value, like, educate yourself.
Well, you're not thinking.
You're not thinking. You're not educating yourself. And you're just subscribing to something you saw one time and went, okay, that's who I am.
Well,
and
you have a filter that's kind of disgusting where it's right. like you have to run everything through this filter that
right.
you're trying to make it fit your narrative. And that's not how life works.
No.
You call that Texas sharpshooting when you, well, that's like shooting the wall and then drawing the right. target around it.
Right, right. Yeah, I would also say too, it's a great quote that I've heard and often repeat is when people approach me and say, oh my gosh, you've changed so much over the last 6 months. I want to say hopefully, because if I'm the same person, I don't want to be the same person I was 6 months ago or 6 years ago or 20 years ago. I want to be changing. That means I'm growing. That means I'm living, right? That means I'm learning more. I'm adapting to my current environment.
See, I'm pretty much the same because I've been right about everything
yes.
my whole life.
You don't need to grow. You have no need.
Yeah, nah, pretty much maxed out.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm
no, you totally have changed kidding. A lot, too. You've grown a lot, too, and I have, too. And I always laugh and chuckle when people are like, oh, you've changed. It's like, no, I'm just not predictable to you anymore. And that's what you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because you thought you knew what to expect every single time I open my mouth, and now you don't. And that makes you feel unsafe.
Explain the play script, that example.
This was a great example from therapy. I had a really down week one time, and I was trying to open up about therapy and new ideas that I had learned in therapy to a family member. And I went, and it was explosive, and it didn't end well. And I felt very depressed about it because I was like, I have this new hat, and I just want to like share it with people. And
look at my new hat,
right? And they were like, I don't need your fucking hat. Like, keep your fucking hat. Like, you should go back to the old hat you had, you know. So, I went back to a session, and she said something so eye opening. She said, "Listen, if you picture it this way, it'll probably make sense." Imagine you are on a stage in a theater rehearsing for a play, and the play is Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. And everybody has the same script. Everyone's holding the same book. We're all reading our lines the way we need to read them. So it's predictable, right? Everybody knows after a certain amount of rehearsals, we know whose line comes and who's supposed to be up next. What you did, this is what the therapist said to me, what you did is you came to rehearsal now with the script of Hamlet, and no one else has the script of Hamlet, and you're reading from this different script, and no one understands you. So it's basically like you're speaking a foreign language because they expected you to come in when, you know, Romeo dies or whatever, and you didn't because you're reading off a different script. So they don't understand it. And then I think natural human reaction is, I don't like that. I don't like that. I fear it. It's changed. I don't like that. I don't want to accept it. So I'm going to try to either tear it down or I'm going to ignore it. So that's been a tough one because you lose people in your life when you change your script.
Yeah. Well, you got to go read with the Hamlet people.
Exactly. You got to go find the Hamlet people.
Romeo and Juliet people.
Right. Yeah. You're like, I'm done now.
You might have fond memories from that. You might right. like the people, but the fact of the matter is you get a new role.
Yeah. And then that's going to, in turn, make you attract different people. So
other people who have the Hamlet script.
Right.
Yeah. Great example.
Yeah. It was a good way to put it in perspective because it's not that you've stopped being in theater. It's not that you've stopped being a part of the group or being in that family, but you're just reading from a different script. And you're offering them that script. You're offering them a copy and you're saying, come on, read with me. And they're like, no, I already know Romeo and Juliet. I don't want to, like, I already have my lines memorized. And I don't want to learn a new play.
I don't want to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. But.
You know, you mentioned something a couple minutes back. Mm-hmm. You mentioned sexuality in that.
Yeah.
I don't know why this popped in my head, but two very famous musical icons at this point,
mm-hmm.
around the same time frame, David Bowie and Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Everyone should know who they are. Yeah. If you don't,
I
don't
hope
know
so.
Why you're listening to The Whiny Girl, because yeah. you're probably not in the...
You're probably not in our demographic. No.
But yeah, David Bowie was bisexual,
mm-hmm.
but always categorized when I was a kid. And this yeah. was after his heyday. This is like, my memories are like in the 80s, right?
Sure.
But he was always characterized as straight, but like he did some weird stuff that like we're not really sure
about. He's just androgynous, or he likes to wear makeup or whatever.
Yeah, which he's yeah. later come out. It's very clear now he was just pretty plainly bisexual.
Right.
Freddie Mercury, on the other hand, same. But when I was a kid, same time frame, and he passed away. What year was that he died?
I don't remember.
I don't either. But he was still, even after his death, he was still, like, you know, iconic and celebrated for a while, sort of fell off and then right. came back with a movie. But my point is, he was gay. Like, Freddie Mercury
was
just... That's
how he was classified, yeah.
Gay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, people, to our other point, like to put people in boxes where it's like, yeah. what's going on there?
Yeah.
Even though that was probably very unfair to both of them.
Well, it was. And he even, I mean, if you've seen Bohemian Rhapsody, you've seen like
I haven't. Should I watch that?
It's a really good.
Is it?
It's a good movie. You haven't seen it? Oh, no. Yeah. I went with a friend. Yeah, it's a really good movie. And he comes, he says it in the film. His girlfriend or wife at the time is like, Freddie, you're gay. And he's like, I'm bisexual. And she's like, I can't. Like my brain doesn't compute, you know, like it's just, I can't wrap my brain around that.
You couldn't have made that movie 10 years ago.
I don't think you could have, because I think bisexuality too is one of those things where it's like people just don't get it. I even know that in the LGBTQ community that bi erasure is a thing. And in the straight community, it's a thing. Like people just think you're confused. People think you can't make up your mind.
Gotta pick a side.
Yeah. And that eventually you'll settle down with some person of either the opposite sex or the same sex, and that will be it.
It's kind of like being politically moderate or a centrist. It's like
people can't believe it. People can't wrap their brain around it.
You gotta pick one.
Yeah, you gotta pick a side.
I do not.
Pick a side.
By the way, we're both independent. We don't, not like independent party, like independent as in we don't
have
a
political
party.
We're both running for office, actually. Paul and Abby, Whiny Girl Fashion 2020.
Yeah, we probably do better than some of the shit we've had at whatever level.
Just gotta get that GC money, and then we'll be able to go on tour.
That's all that's pending.
I know. Everything is just waiting on that. But
we have a big announcement at the end of the show about that.
Right.
Big announcement.
Big announcement. Yeah. No, I think that's...
What's up, YouTube?
That is weird, though, that like 10, 20 years ago, people just didn't even know shit existed, sexuality-wise. And then now here we are. We know all of these different gender identity sexualities exist. And there's still people holding signs that say, like, you're going to hell, or you're, you know, God will kill you, which is always funny because then, like, some random pastor's house, like, gets flooded and all of his pets die but he was, like, a staunch, like, God will kill the gays, and that's how God punishes the gays, and then his house floods, which
God
kind of
kills
funny.
Everyone, doesn't he?
He really does. You know, did you know that? He kills everyone.
Yeah. Like,
or whoever you believe
100%
in.
100% track record.
100% of people will die.
Have died. We've got...
Doesn't matter who you are.
A pretty good track record here.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I don't know. It's bizarre.
Joking aside, though, yeah, I can't believe people are still hung up on that. So in politics, they call that the 5 G's.
Okay. Explain.
5 G's are guns, guts, Old Glory, gays, and what's the other one? Yeah, one of them. But the point is, all things that get people fired up that really don't...
They don't affect people.
Yeah, so the guns thing is the Second Amendment, which I am not even going to get into that conversation.
That's a whole...
Point is, it's in the Constitution. It hasn't changed yet, but depending on what your perspective is, it's never changed. Or
right.
It's constantly under attack and we're defending it.
Right, right.
I got guns. I love guns.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, it's a topic that people like to center in on.
Yeah.
Guts is the whole, like... Should we do stem cell research? Should we do certain medical things that start to have a
oh.
you know, a transference or go across the line of like what people start to consider a
like should rights we issue. Put microchips in people's brains?
Yeah, that would fall in that category.
Yeah,
and then probably real conversations in there that need to happen. But my point is, it's right. often used to kind of like fire people up,
right? Like this is what these people want to do to you. They want to turn you into a robot, or robots want to take over the world, or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the old glory, the flag. That's the whole topic of like freedom of speech. Like, should you be allowed to burn the flag? Bill Clinton answered it, and I think he pretty much nailed it, where it's like, I'm not supportive of the act of burning the flag, but I support people's right of freedom of speech. I feel the same way. And I was 20 years in the military.
Yeah.
If you want to burn the flag, is it disrespectful? Yeah, there's a lot of things that are disrespectful that people do every day.
But it'd be like burning a wedding ring and saying you're not married anymore because you don't have the wedding ring.
Yeah, there's lots of flags. It's a piece of cloth.
It's like
It stands for a lot.
It's an inanimate object that stands for something, but it doesn't mean you're ruining America.
As a matter of fact, if I had a flag making company, I'd be like, burn every flag and keep buying them for your protests. That's
actually
capitalism. What's up?
If the flag companies aren't behind that, I don't know who should be.
Oh, we may have just Illuminati.
They should be behind it. Maybe it's all them.
Who's at the front door?
Maybe it's all them that are burning the flags.
No, we're just joking around too, but it's a topic that like it's never going to go anywhere. You either agree with it or you don't. So it's an endless talking point.
Right, right. But it gets people riled up.
Yeah, I don't remember what the exact statement was, but Obama during the debates, he had that moment where he said that question basically is just designed to get people worked up, and it's not doing anything to solve the problem.
Yeah, one of them was the one I just caught because you were watching it the other day. It was like, do you think everybody should speak English in America? Like
that's
it should
what it was.
Be the bottom, like that should be the number one language. And like one guy raised his hand that he agreed with it, but he was like, let me stop you right there. That's like an armed question. That is totally, it's not even an effective question.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What if you get the answer to it? Okay, what are you going to do with that information? So all you're doing is just trying to rile people up and get them to think about like, yeah, we don't want any immigrants in here, whatever. So, which is so ridiculous.
Which, by the way, English is the language of the country we broke away from. So if anything, we should have made our own language, which we kind of did.
Well, we did.
YOLO.
Yeah.
LMFAO. America.
And look at us go. America's number one. Woohoo.
In a lot of categories, we are. So I'm long on America.
Number one
on
COVID cases, I think.
But yeah, I was watching Obama videos. I was reflecting back on a brighter time.
Just a calmer time, a happier time. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The change thing is hard for people. They don't like it.
Wait, we didn't finish the G's.
Oh, yeah. You got to go into the other two.
Did I get through three? I can't remember what one of them is. God, gun, guts, gays. We talked about the gay rights stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of like done at this point. I'm sure there's lots more work to do. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, the core issue was like general acceptance and then
and
the
equal
legal
rights
to marry.
I think, well, and equal rights for family, too. Like, if you have, you know, if you're a gay couple who wants to adopt, then, you know, you should be entitled to all the same rights. Your kids should be entitled to all the same rights that a straight couple's kids should be entitled to.
I'm fully supportive of. And I think most people, I'm sure there's, like, you know, people that are digging in on any of this stuff. But my understanding is, for the most part, we're mostly there.
Yeah.
And seems like most people feel that way. I even know people personally that they were like really against it. And even at the time I was like, why?
Right.
Do you care?
I don't understand how.
And those people have kind of come around and been like, yeah, that actually wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know that they said that, but that's like the move.
I'm glad that they have, because it's a scary world to change your mind in. So that's good. Yeah. So then, okay. So then abortion, like the whole abortion thing, would that be under guts?
Yeah.
Okay. So then what's the fifth one?
It'll come to me.
Is it 4G or 5G?
It's 5Gs.
5G is killing us all. We need to wear tinfoil hats.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous. Know
that?
We need to get in.
Which, by the way, if you understand the least bit about technology, that is the dumbest, weirdest argument ever.
I don't understand.
I'm convinced that's planted by like a. The conspiracy there might be someone's trying to draw attention away from someone else by being like, hey.
Well, and look, I mean, look at all the attention that's been drawn away from actual real issues just in our political year that we've had, the election year. So that's probably what that was.
Whiners, if you don't understand the difference between 3G, 4G, and 5G, it's generation. Since we're third generation, fourth yeah. generation, fifth generation.
Yeah.
And the LTE just means long-term evolution. So you're like, the fact that you're like, this is killing us, it's not all that different than what's always been there.
But 4G didn't, because it wasn't strong enough.
You're fucking idiots. And I'm sorry.
And 5G did, because it's just stronger. There's so many Gs. It's all the G-force.
It's, I like sometimes hold my head in embarrassment for people.
Well, and you work in the computer and IT industry, so you understand all that stuff. Most people don't educate themselves. They read something on Karen's Facebook, and they're like, yeah, we should be uproared about this. So that's how it
usually
when
there's
works.
A million real horrible things happening all around right. us all, every day that we're just like, yeah, right. I don't know.
But while their kid is like, you know, could you please make me some food? And they're like, hold on, I got to write this scathing comment on Karen's
Birds
Facebook.
Birds are dropping out of the sky.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I wonder what the fifth one is. I don't know. But yeah, no, to that point, though, there seem to be these like perpetual.
No, I covered them. God. Oh, God is the other one. God, guns, gays.
Guts.
Guts and old glory.
And old glory. There you go. God. Which religion. Is all the religion stuff. Yeah.
Which that's self-explanatory.
But it's a perpetual argument. And what have we learned, like socially, like you have to pick a side. You have to say what side you're on. Are you anti-abortion or are you pro-choice? Are you, and not, what's funny to me.
Which if you can answer that without saying like it depends on the circumstance.
Exactly.
Whatever your answer is, then you're a monster.
Exactly. I just don't understand this idea that you have to just subscribe to this one limiting belief. And you can't allow others to freely decide what is right for them, whether it be religion, whether it be abortion, whether it be the love interest in their life and who they want to spend their days with until they die, whether it be what kind of guns they want to shoot and own. Yeah. Now, I'm not for giving. I think there probably needs to be some gun reform in like how we sell guns to people and how many background checks and stuff we do. But let's be real. You can do all the background checks you want on people. You're still going to have the fucking crazies come through. And they're going to be even smarter because they're going to know how to redo, you know, they're going to rig the background check or whatever.
I think what we have is pretty effective.
Yeah. I mean, don't they do? I mean, it's pretty standard, right? It's like a 7-day wait period. You've got to.
You can go into a store
and you just buy it.
But they do a check while you're there.
Okay. I mean, that scares me because people on a bad day can do that, but I don't know.
I mean, it's a process.
But you know what? That's my opinion right now, and I will make a statement right here and say that the whiny girl is going to do more research on this, and then I might have a different opinion next week. So,
right
and on. That's okay, because we need to normalize changing our mind and making a new opinion.
100%.
Yeah. So, it's
what's something that you've really changed your mind on? A topic that.
Gosh, that's a good question.
I know one.
Yeah, what is it?
I just thought of it when I was asking you.
Yeah.
When I was on active duty, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the late 2000s was a really big topic that had a lot of resistance and a lot of people that wanted it to progress.
Right, so you had a lot of people who wanted to just be out and open.
Yeah.
But military was like, we ain't discussing it. We're not touching it with a 10-foot pole.
Pretty much. So my perspective up through whatever year it was I don't care. Like, I don't have any reason to care about it. Whatever you do outside of duty hours is your own business.
Right.
I wasn't for the policy. I wasn't against the policy. I wasn't against anyone's sexual leanings.
Right.
I just took the perspective of we're here to accomplish a mission. Why is this an issue? It doesn't matter.
Right.
I would probably look at it very differently as a 40-plus-year-old, but this is in my late 20s.
Okay.
I heard a story about a woman who was serving in, I think it was the Army. She was wounded in Iraq.
Okay.
She came back after multiple surgeries and being evacuated and eventually landed in Bethesda, Maryland, which is a big hospital where a lot of wounded service members end up.
Yeah.
And she had a long recovery process where she'd been badly hurt by a a vehicle explosion, which was really common at that era. But her effectively wife, who wasn't legally her wife, right. couldn't come visit her.
Yeah, because you're not on any of the family stuff.
Because you're not a dependent. Mm-hmm. That instantly broke my heart, and it instantly made me change my whole view on the subject. Where I went from, it's not really an issue that warrants any attention, to like, this is something that needs to be fixed.
Right.
Officially.
Right.
Because that can't happen.
Right.
And, you know, the people who are enforcing those rules, they're just in a position where they're like, I'm enforcing the policy that was given to me.
Right.
Or the legal.
Yeah. And you were like, I mean, and a lot of people subscribe to the belief. I don't know. I don't think that you were like this, but a lot of people subscribe to the belief of like, I'm just going to shut up and do my job. This doesn't directly affect me. Whatever decision they make, that's what the decision is. And
well, I just didn't. Yeah. I didn't see how it had any impact. Now.
Right.
There's medical things that come into play there. Yeah. There's insurance things that come into play there. It's obvious now why it was an issue.
Why it needs to
be. At the time, I didn't think so. But that's an example of one thing, one piece of information, and it was like, my opinion is instantly changed on the subject. I went from, it's not a problem, to, this is a huge problem.
Right, right. I would say, I mean, most recent is the Black Lives Matter movement, I think, was... I was in kind of the same boat of like complacency. It's like, it doesn't affect me. I'm not really a part of anything negative to do with it. And I'm not actively racist. But then you start really investigating and researching and seeing all the bad shit that's happening to people of color. And it's insanity. And my mind instantly went like, what the fuck? Like, we got to fucking do something about this. And then I did more research and realized this shit's been going on underground for years. And no one's fucking talking about it.
I'm a little different there because I was hyper aware of that.
You were hyper aware of it. Yeah. Well, why didn't you fix it, Paul? Where were you?
From my platform? Yeah.
I'm kidding.
All right. We're going to mobilize.
Yeah. We're going to do this. No, I think that's a big one. I mean, I was always against racism, but I really don't know how to actively be against racism without social media or just making sure if you hear it happening, like then you shut murder. People down. Right. Like, yeah, I'm like against
just
murder.
Just because you're not murdering doesn't mean, like, that's like you should be.
Right.
Like, being... against racism is not like.
But what am I going to do?
A pat on the back.
Go like out to every single person and be like, "You're not a murderer, right? Like, are you a murderer? Because I don't really think you should be a murderer. Like, I don't. It's.
I don't know.
It's a difficult place to be, and obviously, you know, people have talked about privilege and our social stature or whatever is much different than that of people of color, and they get treated differently. And I hate that. I don't know what I can do about it. I think the answer is vote. Vote for the right people that are making the laws.
Yeah, local voting is...
Yeah.
Actually, that's what Barack Obama said.
Yeah, that's where change makes... The change doesn't come from the president all the way down. By the time it gets to us, it's been so warped.
Well, the president's not there.
They don't do that stuff. They're doing, like, foreign policy stuff. And
right.
Yeah.
And very strategic things, as they should, but...
So we
most
need,
of what affects you day to day is probably like within 5 minutes of your house.
Yeah, and those are things
and
that
I,
are going to be
wager,
affected by local politicians, not the president. So
I would wager that everyone listening to this probably has no idea who their local representative is.
Yeah, don't quiz me on that right now.
You met him.
It's not Rick Bratton though, is it?
No, he was.
He's running again, or he was.
He's running for state senate now.
That's what.
Oh,
it
this is.
Is
going down a political rabbit hole. Of, I'm so sorry, whiners. We got off topic.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to changing your opinion.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's one of the recent ones. I can't really think of anything. I think the biggest one for me is how to raise your kids, and that's not even one thing. Like that's not a one thing. Like, oh, I was raising them this way and now I'm raising them this way. It's been kind of a flow over the 15 years they've been here. And there were a lot of opinions and beliefs that I had when they were babies that I have come to realize it's not like I need to adapt to the times.
Well, that's
and
a great
it's
point.
Not still what they need. What they needed at 2 and 3 worked for 2 and 3. And what they need at, 14 and 16 or whatever is going to be different.
Even bigger than that, even bigger, telling them that you changed your mind on something.
Yeah.
Sitting them down, and we've done that.
I did do that. I did do that.
Hey, I thought this. I taught you this. It's actually that.
Yeah, I did tell them that. That was a big thing I changed my mind on, that they all were kind of like, really? For a while, I think probably 5 years ago, when, all the really, really like little tiny social media things started popping up, like Snapchat became popular, kids started getting phones, Facebook was kind of dying off, but all these Instagram, Twitter, I know they've been around for a while, but like they started gaining popularity with the younger crowd. And my kids asked all the time when they finally got their phones, can I start an account? Can I do this? And I made an agreement with them. And I said, if you stay off social media until you're 18 years old, I'll give you $5,000 at graduation. And they loved that idea. Well, one of them did. The other one was like, yeah, I don't really care about $5,000. And like, that's so far, like that shit ain't real. Like it's so far out there. Like, I don't care. I'll just do social media. But idea, right? Because it's a long process. The idea in my mind was like, I'm protecting them. I'm protecting them from predators or people that they might encounter bullying with online or something like that. And I don't want their faces plastered. And what's out there is out there forever. People take screenshots. They record it. It doesn't go away. So that was my opinion. Since then, I've changed my opinion because for as evil as the internet can be, it can be also such a positive resource.
It's pretty pervasive in today's life.
Right. You almost really can't connect with people without it and stay connected to people. So then I started thinking about networking.
That's like, I'll keep them inside so they don't get hurt by the outside. Yes. It's like, are you really doing them any long-term favors?
Right. I will wrap them in bubble wrap before they leave the house so they won't ever get a scrape. And it's like, but that's how you learn, right? So how do they learn how to deal with a potential threat from someone on the internet? Not by never having them experience it. Right. You want them to experience that, because what if they go off at 18 or 22 or, even older and they don't know what that looks like? They don't know what the red flags are because they never experienced it at a young age. And then you're getting into, well, they're an adult, but she got attacked in an alley because this guy found her address online and like she didn't know any different or something. I mean, that's a very drastic hypothetical, but like, that's the kind of thought process I had when I was like, you know what? I'll just go ahead and say, and I did.
You've
I sat
gotta
him
get
down.
Out there and experience stuff.
You do.
And you never know the level of ass eating.
Right.
If you hadn't sat down and met someone.
I know. I
who
know.
Said,
and I mean, imagine if you were like, no, I don't eat ass and I never will. And I'm not even changing my mind on that. Like, think of all the asses that he would have lost out on. Poor guy. We got to stop circling back to this. Anyways. No, but that was a big deal. I changed my mind on that. And the kids were all like, really? And I'm like, yeah, you're going to get a graduation. Well, because secretly it was already their graduation present anyways, which I don't know if I'll have $5,000, but whatever.
Is this podcast generating any money?
Dollars. Dollars are being made right now.
Watch the dollars. The tens will add up.
That's right. Yeah, so I changed my mind. They were kind of shocked by that. But I think that's important. Like you said, that's important for your kids to see that. It's also important for your kids to hear you say you're sorry when you make a mistake. I think that's a big thing. That's a segue. But like, there are parents that will not admit that they were wrong about something to their kids. And that, do you want kids that never admit when they're wrong? Like, because that's how you get kids that never admit when they're wrong. Like, you have to go to your kids every now and then and say, you know what, that was wrong of me. I shouldn't have said that.
It's okay to be wrong.
Right? Normalize being wrong. Normalize changing your mind. Normalize changing your behavior to adapt to your current life. And I think we'd all be in a better place. But people get really stuck on these idealisms and they can't get out of their own box. And they can't get out of their own way because they're worried about what other people will think. But we're all thinking it. It's like driving down the road and not picking your nose because it's like, oh, everybody's looking. Everybody's fucking picking their nose. Nobody's looking at you. They're worried about their own nose.
Oh, I'd be picking my nose in the car.
That's the only place to pick your nose. But it is funny because people walk into a crowded room and they're like, everybody's looking at me. You know what every single other person is there thinking? Everyone's looking at me. So no one's fucking looking at you. They're all worried about themselves. No one's worried about your political beliefs. They're worried about their own. Nobody's worried about how you raise your kids. They're worried about raising their own kids. So normalize changing your mind. Normalize educating yourself. And normalize fixing and adapting to the current whatever it is that works for you.
Amen.
And fucking don't be apologetic. Be unapologetic about it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
What are you drinking today, whiny girl?
I am drinking some high quality H2O.
Oh, ho, ho.
But I am going to read this. I am drinking it out of an amazing little polar camel etched cup.
Yeah, a little Marine Corps action.
Yeah. So this is the...
No, don't even read it because that's not even a unit that I was in. It was a gift from someone.
Oh,
so
well, it's some it unit and it's got a lion on it. And I love that. Did
There's
you notice that?
No,
there's
I
a
never
lion
noticed.
Head in the middle.
All right, we'll give the unit a shout out.
Yeah.
The Guardians.
Oh, Yuma.
Headquarters Squadron Yuma. I wasn't in the air wing, so I don't know a lot of this stuff.
But there's a lion head in the middle. You never notice that? You drink out of that cup every day and you never notice that?
Yeah, it's a great gift. Yeah. Thanks, guys. What's up, Guardians? I like your lion logo.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Hope you had fun in the air wing. Being all comfy.
Is that supposed to be a
little dig? Yeah. Marines okay. will get it. For all the Marines that listen to this, they have neon lights at their chow hall at Cherry Point. I was never so disappointed to see something. I'm like, they have neon on the walls.
Neon like diner signs?
Yeah, like it was like a hip diner. I went to the chow hall in Cherry Point. I was like, what the fuck is this?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm a little salty about that.
Whatever.
They got money. They got to keep the planes flying.
You know what?
Blue dollars.
Maybe you should change your mind on that now. And just realize, you know what? They were doing the best they can with what they had at the time.
Hey, I would have taken it if I could have gotten it.
That's right. See? Why'd you hate it? Because you didn't have it.
I was jelly.
Yeah. Can't do that. What are you drinking?
Well, I don't have much of it left, but D.B. Cooper's drink.
Ooh, do tell. What's D.B. Cooper's drink?
Ooh, let's make it a trivia game. First, respondent who can tell me what D.B. Cooper drank.
You know nobody's going to do that.
I will give you a coupon code.
For the Golden Corral.
For the Whitey Girl merch store.
Oh, we could do that.
A substantial discount. Not like some whack, like, I'll give you a dollar off. Like,
yeah.
Like, we'll hook you up.
We'll send you an old-fashioned t-shirt. How about that?
I don't want to deal with the shipping and all that stuff.
I'm shipping it from the company. Anyways, what are you drinking?
Well,
you're not going to tell anybody?
I got to look it up.
Okay.
I'm trying to get people to grow and expand their mind.
And look things up and research stuff. All right.
See what I'm doing there? I'm doing my part. I done my part.
Yep. I done my part. I'm going to sit in my recliner and watch some Fox News. I'm just kidding. But
that's where I'm headed right now.
Yeah.
I hear there's a good episode. I couldn't even tell you what's on Fox News.
I don't even know what channel it is. I don't even know any channel that has news because I stay away
from
them.
Nothing against Fox News. All
the news.
Yeah.
All the news I stay away from.
I do watch them all, but it's like all through the internet, so.
I usually try to read it because the televised news is just so in your face. There's too much to read. There's the scrolling bar. There's the side pictures. There's like the Dow is always going, like, I can't.
That was the Saturday Night Live
Yeah,
script.
Where it's like. It,
like,
it,
let's get a picture of the Terminator robot
the
up there.
The person who's talking, you can't even see their head anymore because they're just surrounded by stuff. It's too much in my face.
Well,
so.
My favorite has made it painful to get to their stuff. So, I'm a New York Times guy, which I know.
Oh, yeah, they did do that with their internet stuff.
Oh,
it's
they do like
I don't
five
know
articles
why.
A month and
they make you pay and subscribe. I mean, they got to make money. I get it, but it's like,
oh, they messed up. Should have done it other ways, but
yeah. Whatever.
I own their stock for years and they just can't seem to get out of their own way.
And you didn't get free access to the paper for
that's a good point.
Owning stock.
I own part of the company.
Yeah.
Technically.
Come on. I owe like 0.0000015%.
Something like that.
Of this company, and you need to give it to me.
I do their crossword every day.
I mean,
that should like get me in right
look
there.
Look at the loyalty here. New York Times, yeah. NYT. Come on. Got to recognize the old fashioned.
Holler at me, guys.
Holler at me. That'll be our next
Think
sponsorship.
Think of the trifecta, the Golden Corral.
Think of what we could
New York
do.
Times and the old fashioned. Boom.
Three things I never would have put in the same grouping.
Made in heaven. You can read the paper at the GC.
No, while you're on the toilet after the GC. That's what it is. It's not at the GC. You're too busy getting plates. There's no room to read paper there. You keep it at home in the restroom. Anyway, all right, we're going to sign off for another week, but thanks for joining us.
I feel like that was a heavy episode.
I don't know. I think it was pretty good. I don't know. Thanks for being my emotional dumpster so I could put all this shit on my listeners and then walk away. I feel great. No, we'll get into some happier stuff later on, but that is happy stuff. Normalize being happy if you've been sad for your whole life, right? Change your fucking mind. It's okay. No one cares, and everyone wants you to. So, all right. Thanks for listening to my sore throat voice. I sound a bit of a man, but whatever. And we'll see you next week. We'll talk to you next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Go to whinygirl.com and visit the merch store. What else? What else do the people need to know? Visit us on Instagram at @officialwhinygirl. Go like us, follow us, and let us know if you want us to talk about anything in particular. And we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Hit me up about DB Cooper.
That's right.
I get you that coupon.
That's right. All right.
Girl.
We'll see you next time. Cheers, bitches.
Later.
Booyah.